What's in a name? That's what we've been exploring. There's a lot in a name, I would argue. We have been looking at that and exploring that truth on Sunday mornings during our worship time, primarily during the sermon time, as we consider the many names of God that we see throughout Scripture. Names have a way of communicating great understanding, and when it comes to the God we worship, names may be a vehicle that drives our relationship with God. And the study of names is, at least for me, it's an interesting study. Each week as I'm preparing my sermon, I spend a few moments looking at the meaning of some of your names. Earlier this morning, as we were wrapping up some preparation, John Hess came up to me, and John Hess actually went through, I'm guessing, our directory, and he went through every name in our directory and excuse me, and got their meaning. I need some Wawa. John Hess spent the time and went through and got the meanings of everyone's name, and not just the name, like the origin or where they come from. And so I'll use this as my cheat sheet for the rest of the series. But prior to him giving me this, I actually just chose a few names to look at and study some of their names. One of our teams, she's running our video today. Arabella back there works hard. Arabella, do you know what your name means? It's part, you're part right. It means beautiful. Beautiful lion is what your name means. So, you know, roar. I don't know. We have some Steves there. Steve, no. Steve, do you know what your name means? Steve, I'm short for Stephen, but the word Steve means crown. Crown. So next time you're on that hog you're riding, maybe you ought to wear like a crown or something, let people know. Bernice is a name. We have a Bernice Maddox in our church, but also my wife's middle name is Bernice. Do you know what Bernice means? All these years you've never learned what Bernice means. Bernice means brings victory. That's what Bernice means. That's a beautiful name. All right, one more. Nicole Davis. She's on our praise team. We have a Nicole Yeager, so we've got a couple Nicoles. Do either of y'all know what your names mean? Okay. These are smart people. Don't know the meanings of their names either. No. Another name that means victory of the people. Victory of the people. Beautiful names. And you know, I'll just pick one off of here because I saw Dean and Dana Campbell. They're sitting back there. Dean, do you know what your name means? I have no idea. Your name means from the valley and presiding official. Yeah, that's you, Dean. And Dana, you know what your name means? Your name is from Denmark, and it means it's the prettiest pearl. Isn't that cool? I could do this all day, but we got to move on. I have 100 more to go. Thank you, John. Again, I would encourage you to like just go on the internet and Google and research the meaning and origin of your name. And further, see how your name may communicate something about your personality and character. Now, I'm not suggesting that all or everyone's name, you know, will describe something about you. I'm not suggesting that all of your parents before they named you, you know, got a name dictionary and did that. Some of you may have done that for your kids. But just take a look and see if there's something in your character or personality that matches your name. Again, my name comes from the God of wine and fertility. Whatever that means. But when it comes to God, check this out. When it comes to God, we have made this point that God's names, they communicate something. They describe his character, his personality. It describes incidents and experiences. And the Bible, it contains many of his names. We looked at the first week, El or Elohim. Elohim is the plural of El, and that's the all-powerful or the creator God. Last week we looked at I am who I am, or I will be what I will be. This name was introduced during an encounter with Moses, who led Israel out of Egyptian captivity. And that was a name that would be God's name forever. We use the form that translate Lord, capital L-O-R-D, or in Hebrew, Yahweh, Y-H-W-H. Now, Yahweh is what is called a tetragrammaton, a long word that makes me sound smart, but all it means is four letters. And it refers to the four-word designation for God, the Y-H-W-H, Yahweh. And this name, so sacred in Hebrew Jewish culture that Jewish people wouldn't even say the word. They would often, they may write it, but even writing it sometimes, they wouldn't do that. They just believed it was so sacred. They believed very much in the, don't take the Lord's name in vain. Don't just say the Lord's name just to be saying it. Later, they would add vowels because those are all consonants. And that's where we would get later Yahweh. And instead of saying Yahweh, they would say Adonai. This is where, again, we get Yahweh by adding the consonants. Some even say that they added the Adonai in between the letters, the A, and that's where we get the Yahweh. But soon the Hebrew would be transliterated in what we now use more frequently in our songs that we sang today. We usually use Jehovah. Jehovah is the Latinized form of Yahweh. And I shared last week that when you're reading the Old Testament, when you see Lord in all caps, that is the Hebrew for Yahweh. When Lord is written normal, that is the Hebrew for Adonai. Here is an example in Psalm 110 in the first verse. The Lord, all caps, so that would be the Hebrew Yahweh, says to my Lord, it's not in all caps, and so that would designate Adonai, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Here's a picture of what that would look like in a Bible. This is my Bible, and do you see how when you see Lord in all caps, that's the Hebrew for Yahweh. When it's lowercase, that's Adonai. Something to watch out for when you're reading the Old Testament. And the list of God's name grows and grows when you start affixing other Hebrew words to Yahweh or Jehovah. And that's where we turn today for a few moments as we contemplate Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. As in previous weeks, this name of God is revealed in Scripture. And during a narrative that takes place in the Old Testament, we get this name of God. So I want to direct your attention to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, the first book of the Bible, the Old Testament. And we find this passage in the middle of the story of Abraham, who was a key and major figure in our Bibles, especially in the book of Genesis. It's chapter 22, starting at verse 1. I'll read and perhaps make some comments as I'm reading. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. Maybe a little bit of background here. Earlier in the story of Abraham, before Abraham was called Abram, his name was Abram. And God appeared to Abram one day and says, hey, I want you to follow me. And if you follow me, I'm going to bless you. In fact, not only am I going to bless you, your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky, the sands on the earth. I'm going to make you into a great nation. And through you, through your seed, I am going to bless the entire world. There's only one problem. When God called Abram, Abram didn't have any children. And not only that, Abram was he was an older gentleman. He was in his 70s. And so certainly when Abraham heard that, he's like, I don't know how you're gonna do it. I don't know how you're gonna say that I'm gonna have descendants upon descendants. I don't have any children. You can go back. That story starts in Genesis 12. If you want to read and get some further details of the story, it's a rich story. But then God changes Abram's name to Abraham, which means father of many. God was serious when he said that you're going to be a father of many. And he said that the promise to bless the entire world was going to take place through this promised son, Isaac. And now God tells him, I want you to go and I want you to offer him as a burnt sacrifice. Kill him. Now, church, there are a lot of questions that we all should have at this point. We don't have time to look at all of those, but let's keep reading. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the boy, and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them, Abraham and Isaac, they walked on together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, Father, and he said, here I am, my son. He said, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God himself will provide. He'll provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac doesn't get a lot of lines in this story, but his line was really important. I see the fire for the sacrifice. I've watched Dad build a lot of fires for sacrifices. And I see the flint or whatever he's going to use to light the fire. I've seen him do that. He's really good at it. But where is, you know, little bo sheep, where's the lamb that we often use for a sacrifice? And I don't know if you've ever noticed this when you're reading this text, but early on, it almost seems like Abraham knew. He knew that ultimately he was not going to sacrifice. He said, God will provide the lamb for the sacrifice. Verse number 9 says, when they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. It's getting serious, church. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket, a bush, by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. As you can see, this story, again, is a little bizarre. Raises some eyebrows. We know the ending, and so it doesn't really hit us as hard as it hit Abraham or as it hit Isaac. But again, we don't have the time to go into a lot of questions there. The conclusion of the story is where we contemplate, where we focus, and where we meditate. Abraham called the place of divine intervention, because that was a divine intervention, as even though he said, I believe God will provide, he was ready to kill his son and burn him up. But he named that place, the Lord will provide. Or if you see this in Hebrew, Jehovah Jireh. He named that place Jehovah Jireh. And for many years, or as long as God's people have been able to say it out loud, the people of God, they have ranted and raved about God's provision. The Lord will provide. That is, the people of God are vocal about how God provides for them. This is our ardent and fervent confession that the God we worship is the Lord who provides, who makes provision. God is Jehovah Jireh. God is the one who provides an earth for us to live on. He provides the air we breathe. He provides the water we drink. He provides the food we eat. He provides the clothes we wear. He provides the homes we live in. There is an abundance of physical needs that Jehovah Jireh meets day in and day out. Listen to the psalmist as he reflects on the Lord who provides. Psalm 65. Starting at verse number 8. Those who live at earth's farthest bounds are awed by your signs. You make the gateways of the morning and the evening shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the people with grain, for you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with richness. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. The psalmist cries out a song that they sung in worship that talks about the Lord's provision. Jehovah Jireh is a very real idea to them. It's a very rich understanding that God, through all that he does in creation, is providing for us. God, who is the center of our devotion, is Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides for us a word to give us instruction and invitation and inspiration. He provides for us a community of sisters and brothers to do life with. We do life together because Jehovah Jireh provided that for us. He provides for us unfettered access to him in the name of Jesus, through conversation and prayer. He provides for us a way of salvation from our own destruction and sinful ways. Excuse me. He provides for us He provides for us, church, grace to forgive, compassion to understand. He provides for us mercy to give us a second, third, fourth, fifth chance. He provides for us love to embrace us and make us his own. That's Jehovah Jireh. Again, the psalmist makes comment by saying this. This is from Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works and giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, has been the subject of our confession and our songs, because what the Lord has done, what the Lord is doing, and what he keeps on doing keeps coming back, keeps us coming back for more and more of his provision. Earlier, we sang a hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. That hymn was written by a man by the name of William Williams. Parents really got creative with that name. Here's a pic of Mr. Williams. The song was written to reflect our own struggle with circumstances in life. He reflected on his own circumstances and struggles that he had in his life. He saw and noticed that there are times we find ourselves in a barren land and hoping to be fed and nourished by the Spirit of God. So Williams penned a hymn reminding us of what Israel went through as they traveled through a desert and had to live life fully and wholly dependent on Jehovah Jireh. And so we sing, Guide me, O my great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Jehovah Jireh. If you listen to contemporary Christian music or contemporary Christian worship music, there's a group of singers that have become popular since the past couple of years, a group called Maverick City Music. Their hit song that plays all the time, all 9 minutes of the song, is a song that now churches are starting to sing repeatedly. We at church camp this year, back in July, this is one of our theme songs. We sang this song just over and over again. The title of the song, Jireh. I just want you to watch a little bit of this song performed by Maverick City.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do. To make you proud.
goes on for several more minutes, but you get the idea. The lead singer of that song is a guy by the name of Chandler Moore. He was the one playing the piano. It's a song that had been written, and he was preparing to go record the song. I don't know if that's the actual recording. It may be. But 4 days before they were scheduled to record the song, Chandler Moore's apartment caught fire. And he lost everything. And then 4 days later, after losing everything, he goes into the studio literally with just the clothes on his back. You know, praise God, he wasn't in the apartment at the time of the fire. He wasn't injured. But he goes into the studio having nothing but the clothes on his back. And they produce a song that on YouTube, since the middle of last year, has 105 million views. It's a song that resonates with a lot of people. People can feel that when Chandler Moore is singing "You Are More Than Enough," he means it. And he's belting out Jaira, "You are more than enough." And that repeated refrain where he sings, and "I will be content in every circumstance. You are Jaira, the Lord who provides." There's a reason that song resonates. Yes, the melodies and the harmonies are tight, but more than that, people of faith are starting to come to a realization that all the stuff that we have in the world, all the time that we spend trying to accumulate more stuff, thinking that that's going to give us joy, it may give us some happiness, it may put a smile on our face, it may give us this temporal time of euphoria, but real joy comes when we connect to Jaira, when we understand that Jehovah Jaira is enough. Because when he is enough, even when all the stuff is taken away, he's still more than enough. He's Jehovah Jaira. That's a name that expresses someone that meets the greatest need that we have. The question for us is, will Jehovah Jaira be enough? Is what the Lord provides for us enough? When God becomes Jaira, we have all we need, and God will see to that. And so in calling on Jehovah Jaira, we begin to make declarations in our lives. Our spiritual diet is consumed with God, and his beauty becomes even more awe-invoking. When God becomes Jaira, God becomes the most precious commodity in our possession, because he's Jaira. I guarantee Abraham lived the rest of his life knowing that no matter what he goes through, because of what happened at that mountain, Jehovah is Jaira, the one who provides. And that's the invitation for us today, church, for God to be more than enough, to be Jehovah Jaira, to be that beautiful name in our lives, that beautiful presence in our lives, that no matter the circumstance, he will always be more than enough. At this time, we'll sing a invitation song, and this is a song for us to reflect on God's beauty and to reflect on God's provision. Has God provided for you? Has God given you what you need? Has God met you at a mountain where you were going to do something that was so ridiculous, and he says, "I'll provide for you I'll provide for you meaning. I'll provide for you what you need. I'll provide for you love. I'll provide for you grace. I'll provide for you compassion. I'll provide for you understanding. I'll provide for you company. I guarantee Abraham and Isaac walked away from that mountain and said, "Oh Lord, you're beautiful because you've provided for me. And of all the things that I have to give me provision, all the things that I have to give me what I need, God, you are most precious. You're more precious than silver and gold and diamonds. You are Jireh, more than enough." As we're singing this song, if we can be helpful to you in your walk with God, your walk with Jesus, if we can be helpful to you and helping you call on the name Jehovah Jireh, where you are able to confess, whether it's to a melody or whether it's in a prayer or maybe it's just in a conversation you're having with your spouse or family member, you're able to say, "Jireh, you are more than enough. I will be content in every circumstance." If you want us to walk alongside you so you can get there, we'll do that. If today is the day you want to declare Lord, Jesus as Lord in your life, you want to confess faith, you want to be baptized, you can do that today. Let's stand together and let's sing it's a simple melody. Lord, you are so beautiful, and Lord, you are more precious than silver. Let's sing together.